Praise 100.9, 92.7. It's a fantastic Wednesday. And of course, tonight, Preachers of LA airs. I believe this is the second episode of the second season. And I'm privileged to have on the phone with us Bishop Ron Gibson. Hey, Bishop, how are you?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Bishop, when I was sitting down trying to think of questions to ask you, I was really kind of struggling because some of the stuff, the cliche stuff that I'm sure people ask you is stuff that we've been talking about in church for years. If you've gone to church for more than 10 or 15 years, it's like, you know, I don't want to ask you about should preachers have a nice car, all of these things. And I think that maybe the discomfort that a lot of people have with the show maybe is that we're bringing our, you know, church business out and letting other people see it. Was that really the intention, or did we just kind of slip up on that?
I don't know if you can call it intentional for some or unintentional for others, but I've always lived a transparent life, and
right.
What you see with me is what you get. You know, you just got to know when to hold it and when to fold it, and based upon who you're talking to, certain people get certain revelation, but I've never tried to hide anything. You know, I just lived life of faith, and faith is the way I live. The just shall live by faith.
And absolutely.
I try to portray a Christ-like disposition in everything I do, and that part of that disposition, as you stated earlier, Melanie, includes prosperity.
Right.
And prosperity is not just relegated to money. Prosperity simply means, from a biblical perspective, having control over your circumstances, opposed to your circumstances having control over you. And the Lord said through John, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's your knowledge of the word. The word soul is pronounced suke in the Greek, which translates to the English word psyche, where we get the word psychology, which means knowledge. So God wants us to be balanced and temperance in everything. I mean, literally everything. So I live a transparent life in everything.
Well, one of the things that I know keeps coming up, kind of, it's kind of an overriding theme in the show, and particularly maybe this season, is the one word keeps getting thrown around, and it's like judging. And so it occurred to me that, you know, it's like, where do we draw the line between judgment and accountability? Because some stuff I got to ask you about because I'm trying to figure out what you're doing.
Oh, that's great. That's a very good analysis of that word. I think a lot of Christians in the body of Christ, some of them, it's not that they're uneducated. Many are miseducated when it comes down to rightly dividing the word of God, because the Bible teaches that Christians are going to judge angels. We're going to judge the world. And 1 Corinthians 5 is one instance that I can use the word judging in the proper context. It was a man having sexual relations with his father's wife.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul went to the church in Corinth and said, aren't you all mature enough and well-versed enough to judge such a young man? You should have out of the church and let him see the evil or the wrong of his ways. And then once he understands that it was wrong, then you could reunite him back into the family. Most Christians use the word judge as a defense mechanism,
right,
to cover up what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And it's not right.
And how do we move around that? And I have to say, I saw the preview for tonight's episode, and I have to say, I love your wife. And I love that she addressed an elephant in the room, which was not just a relationship that Bishop Jones has, but whether there's physical interaction. And she just said, hey, this is what we're talking about.
Right.
And a lot of times, like you said, people react defensively. How do we maneuver around that as people who really are trying to operate in love?
I don't think really it's a way you can maneuver around it. Sometimes, you know, you just have to watch not so much what you say, but how you say it, you know, in the spirit of love. And I'd rather you tell me the truth and me be hurt by it than you tell me a lie and I somehow, you know, unfortunately, I would say, have to die from not facing the truth. And a lot of people say, well, you're in my business. But no, we're not in your business. We're concerned about your witness. And as the body of Christ, we are to be inspectors or discerning of your character as it relates to the child of God, especially when the gospel is going out to so many people as it is with this platform of Preachers of LA. So the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, around verse 16, that Paul said, the word has given us pastors. We can reprove, we can rebuke, we can correct, you know, in all godliness, that the man of God may be thorough and mature and wanting nothing. I think a lot of people just misinterpret that word. a judge and you're getting in my business.
Right.
And when you're a child of God, I am to correct my brother, you know?
And so with all the difficult subject matter, what would you say is the single best thing that's come out of participating in this show for you?
The single best thing for me is that people that would never darken a church door, we have an opportunity to take the gospel to a larger platform. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and people get to see that preachers are men of like passion as everyone else. We have clay feet, but yet I personally, I have strong legs because I stay on my knees and pray, and God sees me through my challenges. And at the end of the day, I use Christ for my crises, and I end up with a peaceful resolve.
Bishop, lastly, I know you are the esteemed pastor of the Life Church of God in Christ in Riverside, and I know, you know, we could spend days talking about, you know, these sensational things on the show, but what kind of wonderful things are you doing there in your community, both local and global?
Well, we have two Christian schools. We have a preschool, an elementary school, and I think in this day and time, as people can see, things are really becoming really difficult in the world with the, I would say, the killing of our black boys. Nowadays, it seems like more than ever, if you're young and black in America, it seems like you are an American terrorist, like they're treating our black boys as American terrorists. I think there's a plethora, a lot of things that we need to implement to help mitigate that. We need a roundtable discussion with our politicians and parenting classes, anger management classes, education, spiritual classes. So we have schools. We need to continue to practice our Judeo-Christian principles in the United States of America, teach our children to respect authority, not just police officers, but all authority. It seems like we've gotten away from that. Mm-hmm. We have a boys' home, a juvenile hall. We're building 1,200 homes. So there's a myriad of things we're doing in our community, in the United States of America, and outside of the United States, because as you know, I'm the Bishop of the Dominican Republic, so we go into that third world country about 3 or 4 times a year, and we're helping the less fortunate. So God has blessed us to be a blessing, and we're taking the gospel to the four corners of the world.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us today, Bishop. It is The Preachers of L.A. It airs tonight on the Oxygen Network at 10 p.m.
Yes, thanks for having me, Melanie.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.